healed now. I like the word now. We live in now. This is our now. You know that? Right now is now, and then a couple of moments down the road, that'll be our now. And when you talk about God, you have to talk about now. You remember one of the definitions of the definition of faith. Now, faith is, and faith is always now. And people strive all their lives to try and get what they already have. And, you know, I always use that illustration of a dog chasing his tail. You know, you just want to go over and say, well, stupid, you've already got it. Stop chasing it. You already have your tail. Well, let's get into this. There's some truths in here that I want you to hear tonight. You know, I'm convinced that sometimes we don't fully grasp our blessedness, our salvation and redemption that we have through Christ. And a long time back, I said, God, I want a greater revelation based on what Jesus said. Ask and you shall receive. I'm asking you for a greater revelation of your salvation and redemption in Jesus. And over a period of time in increments, there has come a greater revelation. One of those things not too long back was the understanding of the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And understanding what that meant and why that had to be spoken in the Bible. And I'll just put that out there. You ought to study that. You ought to follow the scripture as it relates to the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. It'll give you a greater understanding of your redemption in the Lord Jesus. Amen. You know, I want to start this off in Jeremiah 17:14. This is going to be a kind of a lead scripture for us. Jeremiah 17:14. He says, heal me, Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for you are my praise. The whole point of this scripture is to show the connection between salvation, redemption, and your healing. It was never God's intention that healing be an add-on. Did you know that? When you receive the free gift of life through Jesus Christ, you received God's life. When you received his life, you received healing in that also. You received redemption in that. You received the gift of righteousness in the gift of life. You received the gift of grace. You received all those things came in the life, and that's God's life. And sometimes we get to a place where we think that those things are add-ons, and they're not. They came with the gift of life. It's just the fact you have to renew your mind and come to the understanding what came with the gift of life. And that's what I want to try to get with you here tonight. Healing is connected to salvation. David said it like this, I believe, in Psalms 103. He said, he forgives all of your iniquities and heals all of your sins. That's one of the great benefits. He forgives all of your iniquities and he heals all of your diseases. I'm the Lord God who heals all your diseases. You can see that in the Old Testament all the way up to the New. But I can tell you this, there's a lot of people who don't believe that it's God's will for us to be healed today. As a matter of fact, they'll fight you about that. They'll get really mad if you say, hey, it's God's will for you to be well. I run into a lot of people like that. I know it's a prevailing doctrine in a large number in the body of Christ that God uses sickness and disease to teach you something, to get you in line, to get you going in the right direction. Man, there's none of that's in the Bible. That's not there. Even under the Old Testament, because of the blessing and following the law the way that God wanted you to, there was healing even under the covenant of the law. And when you didn't follow that or you got out of line on it, then the curse would come and you would find out in the curse listed over there, there's a lot of sickness and disease. So healing was available under the Old Testament. How much more is it available and has it been given to us in the New? If you are saved, this is a statement I made. If you are saved now, you are healed now. Well, you know, a lot of people have a hard time with that. My testimony was I've received healing from the Lord. The first time it ever happened, I had an injury in my knee. I'm a retired state trooper, and in those days we used to wrestle with drunks and all kinds of things. I was wrestling with a drunk, and I severely hurt my knee. I thought, man, I'm going to have to go to a doctor, have a surgery and all that. I got with my mother, and Mom, she said, didn't you know that there's also healing in the atonement? I never heard that before. She said, all you got to do is receive it just like you received being saved. I thought about that, and I said, okay, I just decided to believe that. And instantly, I received healing in my knee. I traveled everywhere preaching healing in the atonement. I even went to, that time, at my denominational church, and I stood up in that first church, and I teached on healing. At the end of it, you could have heard a pin drop. Man, I almost thought I heard somebody say, crucify him. God, yeah, man, that was not their doctrine. That was not what they believed. And I thought, wow, you know, not everybody's on board with this. And through the years, and certainly in nursing home ministry for a long time, I found out not everybody believed this. They didn't believe that healing was now. They didn't believe it was at any time. Only time God healed is when you went to heaven. My goodness. You have to leave out vast numbers of scriptures to come to that attitude. A lot of people call cessationists. They believe that when the last apostle left, that everything went with them. That's not in the Bible. Jesus Christ, Jesus the anointed one, yesterday, today, and forever, I'm the Lord God. I change not. People do. God doesn't. His word never changes. If you'll get that finally settled in your heart and in your thinking, you'll come a long way to understanding that you're healed now. Praise God. Remember, Paul said this. He said, imitate the Father as dear little children. And I've seen kids. I've been in a room full of kids before, and the kids that I've not seen, and you know, at a party or something like that. And I listen, and I look at that kid, and I listen to that kid, and I say, I know exactly who you belong to. You look like them, you talk like them, your mannerisms like them, but you say some of the same things that they say. And when you imitate God as dear little children, you know what you do? You say what your Father says. Jesus said, I only say what I hear my Father saying. I only do what I see my Father doing. Should we be any different? Huh? The word is the truth. Pastor taught a whole series on the truth and talking about that only God's word is the truth. It's not a truth. It's the truth throughout the universe and will be throughout the centuries and to the eternity of eternities. Praise the Lord. This is not in the notes, but in Psalms 107 and 2, it says, let the redeemed of the Lord, what, say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. What do you say? I'm redeemed from the enemy. You know what else you say? I'm healed now. I'm healed. If you're saved, if you're born again, you're healed. If you're born again, you're healed. The reason you're having a hard time experiencing that is because you don't understand that it came in the atonement. You don't understand that of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. Healing is on the inside of you. Stop trying to get what you already got. Stop trying to beg God to heal you. Stop trying to do that. Healing's inside of you if you're born again. If you ain't born again, or if you can't deal with that, then we have the body of Christ who flow in the gifts of the Spirit. And there are gifts of healings. I can lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. That's a promise in the Word of God. God has it covered on all bases. He knows where people are in their faith. He knows where they are in their believing. And I can tell you this, at the end of this service, you'll have an opportunity to come up and receive. If you can't believe what I'm saying to you and you're having a hard time with it, come up here and I'll lay hands on you. Others will lay hands on you and we'll release the anointing that's on the inside of us. You know why? Because the anointed one, Jesus, is on the inside of you. He's on the inside of me. Just because he went to heaven, he didn't leave his anointing. He is still the anointed one to lift burdens and destroy yokes. You believe that? How many of you in here, just a quick survey, you know that you know that you know that somewhere in your life you were healed by the power of God, that healing took place in your life because of God. Yeah, how many people? Probably a good half or maybe two-thirds of the people here. And I can tell you that you know, if you did this with all Christians, you would probably get about this amount of people. But there's a whole lot of people that would not dare raise their hands because they don't think I'm good enough. They don't think I deserve it. Listen, you don't deserve anything. You're getting what Jesus deserved. He did the hard part. He's the one that suffered so that you could get the benefits of that suffering and all that he did. Let's move on. Look at the first point. It's already done. Healing's already done. Stop trying to get what God's already done and supplied in your life. And I know a lot of you are struggling with what I'm saying, because if you were brought up as I was in denomination through the years, these things were never taught to you. These things are only as pie in the sky. The only thing that you would get is when you got to heaven. Right now it's nothing but hardness, and all that you're trying to do is just hang on till you get to heaven. But I can tell you right now, that's steak on the plate while you wait. You know, the healing is available to you. Praise God. Already done. Here's the greatest contrast between the old and the new. The covenant of the law, the covenant of the law, and the new and living covenant that you and I have in Jesus Christ. The greatest contrast is in the fact that under the old, it was always doing to get something. It was always doing. It was doing the law, doing all the law, and loving God with all your heart and mind. It was always doing to try to get righteousness, to try to stay in the blessing of God. In the new, it's done. There's the doing is stopped. Even Paul said, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness, who will believe and receive. He didn't say it was the end of the law. He was the end of the law for it. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. He's the end of the law for healing. He's the end of the law for blessing. He's the end of the law for deliverance. Amen. Because he did the hard part so that you could get the blessing of it. Even Jesus said on the cross, he said, it is finished. He wasn't saying that his ministry had finished. He said, it's finished. It's no longer man trying to gain something from God. I did it. I'm the Savior. I'm the Redeemer. I'm the one you're to look to. I'm the one you're supposed to focus on, because I'm still the anointed one of God, Jesus Christ. Does that mean anything to you? Are you taking this in? Listen, you're not here just out of a random chance tonight. You determined to come, or maybe somebody drug you here. But what you're hearing from me is the truth tonight. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. I chose the Amplified translation because I believe it fully gives us insight into what Jesus did. Isaiah 53, 4 through 5. Surely, now understand this. This was written hundreds of years before Jesus went to the cross physically in this earth. He says, surely he has, past tense, borne our griefs, sicknesses, weaknesses, and distresses. That's what griefs mean. And carried our sorrows and pains of punishment. Yet we ignorantly considered him stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God as if with leprosy. And a lot of Christians think, yeah, you know, that's what's happening to me. You know, I'm the one that's receiving all of this. I'm receiving all of this affliction. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. The chastisement, the needful to obtain peace and well-being for us, was upon him. And with his stripes that wounded him, and some translations that say cut deep into his flesh, we are healed and made whole. Several hundred years before Jesus was ever manifest in the earth was this written, and it was written almost in the past tense. Amen. Trying to show you, trying to get you to understand that this is available to you in the atonement. Now look at this. Look at the next scripture, Matthew 8, 16 through 17. Fast forward to the ministry of Jesus. When evening had come, they brought to him, Jesus, many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word. I think the word was get. It might have been a tick. Yeah, get. Well, he cast them out with a word. You know, we've got the word, the word of God, but he cast them out with a word, not the word, with a word. Wow. I've seen some of that happen even in my life. He says he cast them out with a word and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, the scripture that I just read to you in Isaiah 54. He himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And any way you want to slice it, cut it, dice it, chop it up, we're in one part of that, are we not? We're in the today part. We're in the forever part. I hope you're understanding that healing has already occurred. It happened over 2,000 years ago through Jesus. That scripture was brought forth and is still the same today. The word of God's still the same. If it were not, you could not get saved. You understand that? Did I get unplugged?
You did.
I don't think so. Maybe I got unplugged. We'll see.
When you start preaching the truth, things happen. Are we back?
Are we back?
Yeah.
I tell you what, Satan will jump in there if you give him a chance. Okay, let's continue. Let's look at point number two. You got it. You got it. You have it. Like the dog chasing his tail, he needs to stop. He's already got it. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 12 through 13. It said that at that time, now this is Paul speaking, and he's talking from a time and point where only the Jews were privileged to the covenants and the promises of God, and the Gentiles were left out at that time. He said that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants, look, it has an S on it, of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. All of those things you were without, unless you happened to be a Jew under the law or one that they had taken in. But look at verse 13. But now, now is now, right? Now was then for them, today is now for us. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought nigh or near by the blood of Christ. All of those things that you were estranged from are now your privilege to that commonwealth, meaning the wealth that was common to every Jew then is commonwealth to you now. And now you have the covenants of promise. Every covenant God ever made with a man has promise, and you're privileged to those promises. Wow. You ought to go back and look at what those covenants were. Look at the covenant he made with Noah. Look at the covenant that he made with Abraham. Look at the covenant that he made through Moses. Look at the covenant of peace that is through Jesus Christ. And look at all those promises. They are commonwealth to you. Wow. He is rich unto all who call upon his name. What kind of rich? What manner of richness is this? What manner of life is this? Those covenants of promise, having no hope. Now you have hope, the hope of God. And now you have God in this world. So much so that he dwells on the inside of you. One of the great and exceeding precious promises of God. I'll dwell in you. I'll walk in you. I'll be your God. You'll be my people. Come out from among them. Touch not the unclean thing. I will receive you and be a father unto you. And you will be my sons and my daughters. What kind of promises are those? Wow. God dwells in you, but he won't heal you. That's dumb. That's dumber than a bag of rocks. That's dumb to the 10th power. The healer himself, God the creator, the one who came up with healing to begin with on the inside of you, but he won't heal you now. He'll walk in you, he'll dwell in you, but he won't heal you. He won't bless you. He won't prosper you. He won't do any of those things until you get up there with him. How dumb is that? That's just dumb. All right. Look at Ephesians 2 and 10. Dumb to the 10th power. Ephesians 2 and 10. For we are now, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Notice Christ Jesus, the anointed Jesus and his anointing, for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. One of them good works is healing. You can walk in healing. You can walk in prosperity. You can walk in deliverance. You know what? If you don't know this, you won't do it. Isn't that right? Knowledge is everything. Wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of your time. The reverence of the Lord is your treasure. You learn to treasure the word of God. Learn to treasure it above anything else in this world. Anything that you see. You know, the Lord spoke this to me recently. And he said, are you hearing what you see? I thought, what? Are you hearing what you see? Are you hearing what you feel? Did you know everything has a voice? Even you look up into the stars, into the sky at night, it has a voice. It tells you there's somebody bigger than you. There's somebody much bigger than you. Boy, there's something working there that's greater than anything in this world. Everything has a voice. Even that table has a voice. It says, if you try to sit on me and I only got two legs on that thing, you're going to fall over. Isn't that what it says? Huh? It doesn't have a physical voice, but you can get that from it. Or anything else in this world. You need to hear only what the truth is that I'm saying to you. One of those good works is healing. It's not only for you, but it's for other people also. Jesus said, he who believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall you do, because I go to my Father. You know why? Because when he went to his Father, he sent the Comforter. He sent the Helper. He sent the one with the power, the Holy Spirit, available to you to receive so that you can walk in that power. Can I say this before we close up and we're getting down to the end of this? If you're trying to live the life of a believer without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, man, you're saved stuck. You're saved stuck. You're born again. If you're born again, you'll go to heaven, but you're in a place where you're stuck. You're trying to operate off your own power, your own ability, maybe even your own righteousness, and you're not getting anywhere. If the Lord Jesus Christ himself had to have the Holy Spirit come upon him before he did anything, it's the epitome of arrogance to think that you don't need that same power in your life. You know that? That whole thing, that whole of Jesus going down and the Holy Spirit coming upon him was there so to show you need the Holy Spirit also in your life. Look at number three. It's in your spirit. In your spirit, your born again spirit, the new creation in Christ. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:17-18. Very important scripture in the Bible. It's one of my favorites. Like Pastor said, all of the scriptures are my favorite. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the anointed Christ, the anointed one in his anointing, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Look at verse 18, how it starts off. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us unto himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Now all things are of God. Healing is of God. Am I right? The devil ain't going to heal you. Has no interest in healing you. He comes but for to steal, kill, and to destroy. Jesus said, I came to give you life and to give it more abundantly. This is a part of the more abundantly. Everything that's in your being is of God. That's why Paul was so adamant about putting on the new man created in righteousness and true holiness. He wants you to put on that man. He wants you to come from that basis in your life, who you are in Jesus, who God is in you, and not what you are in the flesh. If you try to come from your flesh, and here's how people do it with healing. Now, God, you know, I do my best, and, you know, I know I'm born again and all that, but could you please heal me? That's asking him to do what he's already done. And then they add all the reasons why he won't or can't. And I guarantee you condemnation will come and say, that's right, you don't deserve it. You just don't. You don't do everything just right all day. You don't say the right things all the time. You have the wrong thoughts a lot of the times. You don't deserve it. And that's correct. But you ain't getting that. You're operating off of grace, and the mercy of God endures forever. That mercy's on the inside of you because God's on the inside of you, and all things are of God. If you hear and understand that right there, you come from there. You come from there. You know, the guy, John Lake, and we've talked about him before, and, you know, in his ministry, every day had a tremendous healing ministry. Every day he would look at himself in the mirror and he said, "You are who God says you are, and you can do what God says you can do." That's what he would say every day. Had a tremendous ministry. I think it shut down some of the hospitals. They had so many people getting healed, nobody going to the hospital. Wow. That was awesome. Let's look at Romans 8 and 11. This is great. "But the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you." Who's you? You. "The spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your..." Does that say mortal bodies? That's physical body, isn't it? Not a heavenly. "Will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you." That's resurrection power. That's creation power. Amen. Is on the inside of you. You know how you release it? You speak it. "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Confession is made unto salvation." That word salvation can also mean deliverance. You know, I hope you've listened. I hope you've heard, at least taken some of this in tonight. Because I'm telling you now, a lot of Christians go through life sick, diseased. They go through life not knowing. They still think they've got to plead and beg God for everything that he's already done in their lives, for all that he's already provided. That's why Jesus is called our Savior and our Redeemer. He's called the last Adam. That's why he's called the seed of Abraham, the Son of Man. He's called the Son of God. That's why it's all about him, and that all about him is on the inside of you if you're born again. And I want to say this, if you're not born again, and you want to know Jesus, you want to know that you're going to heaven, you want to know that he's on the inside of you, then you have this opportunity at this time to receive him.